Welcome to this AAT podcast. I'm Andrew Walls, and today I'm going to be talking about VAT and how it impacts on overseas businesses that are selling goods into the United Kingdom. We're going to look at overseas businesses from both outside of the EU and from within it, and see what the differences are between their VAT treatments. Starting with goods coming in from outside of the EU, we are of course talking about what we refer to as imports. It's a basic principle that VAT, and of course duty where appropriate, becomes due at the time goods are imported into the United Kingdom. So if you're an overseas business, importing goods into the UK for delivery to UK businesses, how does this VAT get collected? There are two basic things that we need to consider. The first is whether VAT is due or not, depending on the nature of the goods and their value, and secondarily, who the customer is. The first and very simple point that we need to be clear on is that VAT only becomes due on imports where the goods would ordinarily be subject to UK VAT if they were sold in the UK. So if you're importing books or children's clothing or foodstuffs that would ordinarily be zero rated, then there is no VAT to be charged. The second point is the low value consignments rule. You may be aware that if goods come through the UK borders and their value is less than £18, there is no duty or VAT to pay. That value, the £18 limit, applies to each individual packet or parcel as it comes through. So if we're importing 10 different parcels with a total value of £100, because each has a value of only £10, being below the 18, there is no duty to pay. Where we've got to be particularly careful, though, is when we look at the actual process of valuing each parcel. We have to look at the value of the goods. Clearly, that has to be taken into account, and ordinarily, that will be the value of the goods that the person has actually paid. So, for example, if you are importing a DVD, you've just simply bought a DVD, perhaps off the internet, and it's cost you £15, then that will be the value that you take into account, plus any insurance and any transport costs. So if it's £15 for the DVD with £2 postage and packaging, you're still only at £17, below the £18 limit, and therefore there is no duty or VAT to be paid. As a result of this rule, there are many, many businesses that have established warehouses offshore. A great deal of these are in the Channel Islands, primarily in Guernsey, but also Jersey as well. There are fewer now in Jersey than there used to be because of the Jersey VAT rule, which was introduced a couple of years ago. Still, it is big business for those operations who can establish themselves offshore. Certainly those selling DVDs, CDs, small, low-value items have actually managed to gain quite considerably from this. The only thing that we need to be a little bit careful of, going back to valuation, is what else might possibly need to be added in. You can plan a little bit around these sorts of things, but do be careful. One famous case was the Vision Express case. In the United Kingdom, Vision Express sells spectacles and contact lenses to the general public. When you go to have your eye test, that actually is a professional service. The eye test, the process of prescribing the appropriate lenses for you, is an exempt supply of a service. It's part of the healthcare exemption. In the UK, Vision Express apportioned their income to ensure that they only account for VAT on the value of the goods and not the exempt service. They tried to argue that they could do the same with the contact lenses that they were going to import from their offshore warehouse. So you might be buying a single parcel, valued quite highly as 2, 3, 4 months perhaps supply of contact lenses, and what they were trying to say was that the value of the goods themselves fell below the £18, and the rest of what you were paying for was in fact an exempt supply of a service. They lost that case. What the courts ruled was that you have to look at all of the costs which go to making up the value of the parcel. So do be careful if you wish to get involved with this sort of offshore planning. If the value of the consignment exceeds £18, duty and VAT become due at the normal rates. If the customer is a business user and they are VAT registered, it is usually possible to have the customer declared as the importer. If you declare the customer as the importer, as the consignee on the import documentation, then they become liable for any duty and VAT at that time. All you need to do is to make sure, firstly, that you've agreed that they are prepared to do that, and that they understand that the VAT is their responsibility. And secondly, to get their details from them in terms of their VAT registration number for the actual declaration. Once that has been done, your responsibility as an overseas supplier comes to an end. If, however, your customer is not VAT registered, and I'm thinking primarily here of private individuals, then you will have to account for the duty and VAT yourself. There are two options here. You could become formally VAT registered in the United Kingdom. You could import the goods in your own name into a UK warehouse, declare the goods, pay the VAT and recover that on your VAT return, and then treat the onward supply as a UK supply of those goods, subject to VAT at their normal rate. Alternatively, you can simply do a remote declaration. When sending goods through the post, through the various carrier systems, it is possible for the overseas supplier to declare the duty and the VAT and to pay it before the goods arrive. In that way, the goods arrive at the customer's doorstep, duty and VAT paid. If the goods are coming from another EU member state, similar principles apply, albeit that there will be some slightly different reporting processes. If you are supplying from an EU member state into the UK to a business user who is UK VAT registered, then the supply will be free of VAT within your own member state. So a French supplier of television sets can easily supply those zero-rated to a UK distributor. All they need to do is to get the UK VAT registration number from their UK customer and quote that on their sales invoice. They will then need to comply with any reporting requirements in their own member state, but once they've done that, the responsibility for accounting for VAT passes to that UK business. That's relatively straightforward. Where we have a slightly more complicated situation is where we're looking at private users. If you are selling goods from one member state to another member state, where your customer is not VAT registered, primarily because they're a private individual, then you're in the area which we know as distance selling. The rules apply equally to offshore businesses supplying into the UK as to UK businesses supplying to other member states as well. What you need to do is to monitor the value of goods sold from your member state to each of the other member states. So let us take a German supplier as an example. A German supplier, perhaps, of CDs to European users. They're selling to private individuals, and in particular, we'll look at the supplies into the UK. The German supplier starts supplying the goods to UK customers. Because they are below the distance selling threshold, they charge their own domestic rate of VAT. In Germany, the current VAT rate is 19%. So that German supplier must charge German VAT at 19% to the UK customer. They monitor the value of goods sold to UK customers who are not VAT registered over the course of a year, and that is a calendar year. If the value of goods sold does not exceed the distance selling threshold, which is currently set at £70,000, then they continue simply to charge German VAT. However, if they exceed the £70,000 limit, they are required to become VAT registered here in the UK and charge UK VAT instead. This concept, this methodology, applies for every different member state. And broadly, each member state has picked a limit which is either around about £70,000 or around about £25,000. The limits do vary slightly because of conversion rates and that sort of thing. And the rates were actually set at 100,000 EQ and 35,000 EQ prior to the euro being introduced. Each member state has picked one of those, and it's simply a matter of monitoring your sales to that country against each member state's limit. This gives rise to a couple of practical points. If you're selling into the UK and you're charging, say, Hungarian VAT or German VAT or Polish VAT at your own rate, and then suddenly you have to become VAT registered in the UK and charge at our rate, how are you going to price your goods on the internet or in your mail order catalogue? Are you going to say X pounds plus VAT at the appropriate rate, which leaves it very uncertain to the customer? Or do you simply fix your price and account for VAT included in it at whatever rate you have to? This, of course, could impact on your margins, perhaps on your profitability, perhaps on your competitiveness. One thing you could think about, particularly at the moment, is registering for UK VAT on a voluntary basis anyway. At the moment, and I have to stress that, at the moment, the UK VAT rate at 17.5% is one of the lowest in the whole of the EU. I think, if I remember correctly, there are only three member states with rates that are lower than ours. The majority of member states have VAT rates between 19 and 20%. The most common rate is 20, 19 is very closely behind that. And they account for well over half of all member states. And then the balance of the member states all have higher rates, some all the way up to the maximum permitted of 25%. If you are in one of those high rate states, it might be better, in fact, to register in UK VAT terms right at the beginning and only charge UK VAT at 17.5%. Of course, sitting here in the beginning of June, we'd have to look forward to the budget. Will the VAT rate in the UK increase? If it does, then this sort of planning will perhaps be of less interest. So that pretty much covers sales from outside of the EU and sales from within the EU. We did mention briefly the idea that we could simply bring all of the goods into the UK and have a UK registration to start off with. Some businesses feel that it is in fact beneficial to have the goods delivered directly from a UK warehouse. If the goods come in from outside of the EU, then they declare those goods themselves, either as going into free circulation or going into one of the suspension regimes, perhaps into a warehousing regime or something of that nature. All sales are then treated as UK sales, with UK VAT being charged accordingly. Some large business customers will in fact insist that this is what you do. For example, B&Q. B&Q obviously have a very substantial business and they have some very, very high buying power. As a result of that, they can dictate to their suppliers a lot of the terms and conditions. One of my clients manufactures cooker hoods, which are sold almost exclusively through B&Q. My client manufactures in the Far East and delivers to the UK B&Q warehouses. We could, if B&Q would allow us to, declare B&Q as the importer. B&Q would pay the duty and any necessary VAT, and then they would make the eventual sale to the UK public, charging VAT accordingly. But B&Q don't want to have to do that. They don't want the cash flow and other implications of being declared as the importer. So they insist that my client, even though they're based in Japan, is VAT registered in the UK and then imports all of the goods in their own name, pays the duty in VAT, and then charges B&Q VAT on the actual disposal to them. whichever way it happens, whether you register voluntarily or whether you register because your customer insists upon it, we have an ordinary UK VAT registration. There's nothing particular about the way it's done. It is created through the normal process of filling in your form VAT1. The only difference will be whether you have a UK presence or not. If there is a UK place of belonging, then you will register through the normal process using that UK place of belonging or presence. If you don't have any establishments in the UK, then the same thing happens. You still fill in the same form, but it goes to the NETPU, the Non-Established Traders Processing Unit, which is based up in Aberdeen. That unit is there purely to look after businesses who want to be or need to be UK VAT registered, but do not have a UK place of establishment. One little word of warning with them. In recent weeks, they've become a little bit behind schedule. They've had quite a high volume of registration applications submitted to them. Because they got a little bit behind, they actually put some of those registrations down to the ordinary registration unit to process. Now, unfortunately, the normal registration rules require you to have a UK establishment. So when somebody picked up these particular applications in the ordinary registration unit, they rejected them all on the basis that they were saying, we haven't got such an establishment. It's taken several weeks to get some of those registrations processed because of this simple error at HMRC. So if you do have any businesses that need to be registered, if they haven't got a place of establishment within the UK, make sure that the application goes to Aberdeen, and if it gets referred to the other registration unit, make sure it gets sent straight back again. Do not let them process it, because they are almost invariably going to get it wrong. Once registered, your business can then continue to trade in exactly the same way as any other UK VAT registered business. VAT returns will become due, and of course, electronic submission is now mandatory for all new registrations. So to summarise, if you're an offshore business selling goods into the UK, you need to consider, firstly, where the goods are coming from, secondly, to whom they are being supplied, whether a business or a private user, and thirdly, whether the VAT that becomes due is your responsibility or can be passed on to your customer. Some businesses volunteer to become VAT registered in the UK, others opt to be registered because they have to, because their customer insists upon it. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.